the living poop.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Podcastica, a Doctor Who review podcast here on the Night of the Living Geeks Network. My name is John, and joining me for the first time live in studio is my good friend Taylor. Taylor, how are you?
I am fantastic, and I am stoked to be here and not on Skype.
Yes, I think it is just a general consensus that we are very happy that you are not on Skype, and you're here in NOTLG R&D, I believe, is
Absolutely.
What we call it, the research and development. So how's it going?
It's going good. It's going real good. Thank you.
It's been a little while. I did the Gallifrey episode kind of solo-ish. I had some people with me. After that, yeah, we were kind of like, well, now what should we do? And then I guess we realized we hadn't reviewed any of the Ninth Doctor episodes.
No, we hadn't.
So today we are going to be talking about Dalek, which is the sixth episode from season/series, depending on where you're from. In the reboot, and it was written by Robert Shearman. This is basically if you're me, like I didn't watch the old Doctors, this is everyone's first introduction basically to the Daleks.
Yeah, it totally was. And even for me, as someone who had grown up watching Doctor Who and knew what the Daleks were, obviously I had gone many years without seeing them, without hearing them. So I was excited to see how they were going to get reintroduced and see how everyone else was going to react to them.
Yeah, and I think I forget, when I watched it again, I go, oh yeah, this is my first reaction to what a Dalek was. And I guess my first reaction to what a Dalek was is, they are crazy and unkillable. That's basically what my first reaction to a Dalek was. And they look cool. I think I've always thought they looked pretty
Absolutely.
Cool.
Absolutely. And I think this one was especially crazy.
Yes.
Having fallen through time.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What was it? It fell through time and was in a crater for 3 days until somebody could get to it.
It was screaming the entire time.
It
was so hot after coming in and crashing and is just screaming the whole time. Yeah.
So basically, we open up. The Doctor and Rose have, you know, materialized in this museum in, what was it, 2012?
Yes, so which at the time was the future.
Yeah, it was the future. The not-so-distant future, as someone may say.
Yes.
And they run into, one of my favorite parts of this was the, because I didn't know what a Cyberman was yet either.
Oh, that's right.
So it's like, what is this thing? So it's almost like everybody goes, oh, it's the Cyberman head. And I'm like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, and I'm going, oh, I remember those guys.
Yeah, and it was, I thought that scene was shot very nicely to where she's like, who's that? And he goes, oh, an old friend. Well, not really an old friend,
right.
You know. And it almost had like he was in the Cybermen head, like it was kind of like shadowed.
Oh, his reflection in the glass there. Yeah, totally.
So that was really cool. I believe they get captured.
They do. Yeah, he goes to, like, I think, touch the glass.
Touch it, yes. Because they see a Slovene arm or something like that?
Yeah, there's a Slovene arm, a mileometer, which is what we would just call an odometer.
Yes.
From the Roswell spaceship.
Yes, yes.
Because apparently the Roswell aliens measure in miles.
Apparently.
They are in an imperial standard.
Well, he would know.
Well, yeah. Of course he would.
Another note I wrote was, man, I miss this version of the theme.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Throughout the reboot and throughout, I guess, Doctor Who in general, they've slightly changed the song.
Yeah.
I think this one was probably one of my more favorites, but I think my personal favorite, if we're going with slight ones, was the Tenet series with the drums. because it had the the drum in the background, and as a percussionist, I was like, yes, this is awesome.
You loved that whole episode, Sound of Drums, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, here come the drums. I mean, overall, as a Dalek episode, where does this place?
You know, I think as a Dalek episode, I think it places pretty high because we get a lot of the background on the Time War, and we get this reintroduction for many to the Daleks and what they are and what their purpose is and kind of their history a little bit.
Right.
And we get to see just Chris Eccleston's Doctor just vehement, just frothing at the mouth almost.
Vicious.
At one point. Yeah, and it just was such a fantastically acted episode on his part.
Holding a giant space gun. That's and the more, like, going back and now knowing that the Doctor doesn't like guns, you know, when I'm watching it fresh, I'm just like, oh, this is serious, because I've never seen him hold a gun in six episodes, but he's going to blast this thing because he hates it so much. But then, you know, when you get the whole background, it's like, oh, he was really going to go there.
Oh,
and he's still fresh off the Time War paranoia. So he just wants this to end. He wants this Dalek gone.
Absolutely.
Another thing that I really just liked, I love the interactions between the Doctor and the Dalek, especially the "you would make a good Dalek."
Yes, yes, which of course we got a kind of a callback to in the Capaldi episode "Into the Dalek" past year.
And I like it because a lot of the things, they almost mirror each other. It's almost like you could swap them around, and if the Doctor was saying what the Dalek was saying and the Dalek was saying what the Doctor was saying, I almost didn't get that all out. It's almost like what the Doctor was saying to the Dalek was what he thought of himself.
Interesting. Yeah, I can definitely see that. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what... Was Rose still with Mickey at this point? Or was it like... Because it's kind of hard without watching everything and not going back.
Yeah.
So if they were together still or whatever they were, she was doing a lot of flirting with British guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, with Adam.
Yeah.
She definitely was. I'm trying to remember. Let's see. She was through Rose and The End of the World. Let's see, The Unquiet Dead, which was going to be my other suggestion for this one, mostly because I just wanted to see Eve Miles. what was the fourth and fifth was World War III.
Yes. So he's with her that entire time, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think so.
So just very, I always kind of had a problem with that. Let's talk about that for a second. I always kind of had a problem that Mickey gets the rap of being like, angry and like jealous when he rightfully should be, right?
Yeah, yeah.
His girlfriend just goes off with some dude and never comes back, but they didn't like officially break. I don't know.
Gee, there's a recurring theme we've seen. I'm unpopular opinion time. And coming back and watching a Chris Eccleston and a Billy Piper episode, I reinforce now the fact I'm really not a fan of Rose.
Really?
I'm not. And
part, you heard it here first.
Yes,
folks.
I know. Go ahead. Tweet your hate to at Bus Buddha. She's good. I mean, she fits the bill. She does fine as a companion. Don't get me wrong. But I think it just got built up into so much. There became this literal love that she had for the Doctor.
The
I can't be away from you thing. And that, as a classic Whovian, kind of turned me off. And even now when I see, like, on Tumblr or something, Tennant Rose, and it's shut up.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, but I understand where you're coming from with not liking Rose. I mean, she's not my favorite either, and I think she gets... Don't get me wrong, she's great. I think she, you know, fits well in the series and the mythos, but she's not necessarily my favorite.
No, definitely not in terms of companions, you know, for the new series.
Right.
Who would you say is your favorite, though? Just to put you on the spot with a question.
Who's my favorite new companion? I mean,
I know
Catherine Tate's great.
Yes.
But I still, and I'm so mad at what Clara has become.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say that first season, and mainly that Christmas episode,
okay,
where they're on the roof and he's like, I don't have a plan. She goes, I think you do have a plan. Well, what would I do if I had a plan? And it was just the back and forth, right, between them. I was like, yes, this is great. And then we got a decent amount of that. And then we got the, like, boo-hoo and, like,
Yeah.
I'd probably say Catherine Tate is probably my favorite, just because it's very pally around.
Yes.
Which is great.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it definitely, and Donna's relationship with the Doctor was, yes, definitely one that was more platonic.
Yes.
And that's where I was leaning to, really. And Catherine Tate is such a funny actress.
Yes.
That I love so many of the episodes that they did together. I was leaning that way as well. Now I'm hoping that what we get out of Clara,
I think,
next season.
And I think with the Christmas episode, with the everyone gets a second chance, or yes, whatever it was, I think we've seen the error of our ways and will hopefully have the fun. Because that was, wasn't that actually crossed, what was supposed to happen with Capaldi? There will be no, like, flirting and any of it, and it was just.
Yep.
I know. Anyway, we have gone way off the rails here. So we find out that Henry Van Staten. He has a collection. Oh, and he also owns the internet, which is my favorite thing ever.
There are some kind of silly lines,
yes,
in this, and it's kind of funny also to listen to when he references his assistant Diana Goddard.
Yes,
that the way they pronounce Goddard,
yeah,
in the episode, I'm like, oh, you're all just British trying to talk American.
Yeah,
no, it's Goddard. Clip all the vowels. That's how we do it over here.
I also like that it was like, of course, Americans would ruin the internet and be like crazy people who kidnap things. And
yep.
Yeah, of course.
Yep.
So we find out that he has a prized possession, and we don't really know what it is until the doctor. Oh, and we have that weird scene with like the musical instruments.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I just love Eccleston's doctor because he knows he's smart.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants everyone to know it, which is great. So they take them down to the cage or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And he goes in there and
There's a Metaltron. It's a transformer. He turns into a gun. Wait, no, that's Megatron.
Yes. Well, wrong geeky reference, I guess.
It.
Yeah, and we see the Dalek for the first time, and we see
That whole scene
where when I first watched it, I'm going back to not my rewatch, but when I first watched
it.
I'm like, man, this is serious.
Yeah.
I've never really seen him this angry and emotional over seeing another alien.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then I think this is obviously when we find out that they're the only two survivors, and we get that emo Dalek scene. My favorite part is the sad eye stalk.
Yes.
It's just like, I am alone.
He is old, flaccid eye stalk. Yeah.
Emo Dalek is emo. He's just so sad. Yeah, he was just so sad. And it's like you almost feel bad for him.
But, absolutely.
But the doctor's reaction is one of, you shouldn't feel bad for him.
Yeah.
So you're confused. I'm like, what, should I feel bad for him, or should I be like, good, everybody's dead, it's just you.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm like, wait, that's the doctor. It's very similar.
It's, you definitely get a feeling for the doctor's kind of almost PTSD.
Yes.
From the Time War and just this intense outlash.
Yes.
And just the way that his expression changes, where he first comes into the cage and it's dark and there's just the blue light from the eye stalk.
Yeah, and he's all friendly and he says that he's the doctor.
I can help you and I can help you. And yeah, I'm the doctor. And it goes,
Doc.
And the lights light up. Oh, just talking about it right now gives me chills.
Yeah, it's great. It's so good.
And his whole demeanor just changes. And Eccleston just acts that so fantastic.
Yes.
I really wish we had gotten more than one season of him.
I know, but he didn't want to.
And you know what?
That's still my... I need more information on that.
I remember just after the first episode aired, and this was at a time where you know, there wasn't really a easy legal way to get those episodes over here in the States at the time. And I remember right after having seen the first episode myself, like the news dropped where he's like, oh, he's only doing one season. I was like, oh God, we're going to lose Doctor Who again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, good thing we did not.
And now 10 years on. Like, yeah. 10 years.
Oh, geez, that's right. It is 10 years.
I am so old now.
I'm getting there. Okay, so let's see where we are. Oh, he's like, you got to kill it. Mm-hmm. He finds out, Henry finds out that, you know, the doctor's an alien. And then we get this weird shirtless doctor torture scene.
Yeah.
Which is just like, he looks so weird.
It's
like it almost looks like he has no muscle mass at all.
Yeah, I know. And that's kind of weird. And especially what apparently just is a scanner.
Yeah, is like hurting him.
A ton of pain.
Yes. And he's going to patent the two hearts, which I'm like, how are you going to patent that?
Oh, Van Staten would find a way. He'd find a way.
And then I believe at this point, Rose goes down. You know, she goes out, goes down to the cage to talk to Sad Dalek with a sad eye stalk.
Yeah,
and she touches it. Yes,
locked off.
He's locked up, getting shocked. That scene. Just every time I see that scene, I'm like,
it is
this
kind of
is so
scene.
Weird.
Yeah, but you know what? There's some fan fiction out there.
That of course there is.
Goes another direction with that. So yeah, Rose and Adam go down to the cage.
Yeah, she feels bad and touches the Dalek, and then it's like regeneration. I just that was
scene.
always my favorite thing when I was first watching it. I'm like, I love how these Daleks sound.
Yes.
Like, this is awesome.
Nick Briggs does such an amazing job, and all I could picture in my head in the rewatch was him standing off stage with his mic and his little, you know, vocoder or whatever is used to create that, just getting more excited and more amped up as the Dalek regenerates.
And how does it regenerate? It's because she was been in contact with a Time Lord.
Well, no, she actually has time travel. She has been
in the vortex.
Although in the TARDIS, in the vortex. But
timey-wimey.
Writing. Okay. And so, yes, apparently Dalek armor is porous enough
to
access a person's biomass.
Yeah, I don't understand. Okay. You know, I'll give it to him. That's fine.
Here's your disbelief. Let's hang it from the ceiling. Let's suspend your disbelief and move on.
And then the Dalek goes on a tear, basically.
Yeah.
And this is when, if you've never seen a Dalek before, you get to see the full terror that is a Dalek.
Man.
And I'm just like, oh, it's so intense, but it's also so awesome. Like, I think when they attack the Dalek for the first time and they're shooting it, and then like those little vents open, and they either I assume the bullets melt is what it is.
He's got like this force field.
Yeah,
I'm assuming that this Dalek is a he.
Yes. Well, who knows?
I don't know what gender.
We don't know. They're just genetically
identifies with, you know?
And melts all the bullets and just is destroying everyone. And I just love that entire scene. That's one of my one of my top things. Is the Dalek just going on a rampage, and like, it doesn't have any legs. How's it going to get up these stairs? Elevate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have seen a decent amount of old classic Who.
I'm glad you brought this up.
Does that happen in old classic Who?
Once.
It
happens once. Through all of classic Who, the Daleks are, pretty much defeated by a flight of stairs. Apparently, Skaro is very flat.
Oh. that's good.
Yeah, but in remembrance of the Daleks, Seventh Doctor and Ace, this was the 25th anniversary season.
That's not his last episode, is it?
No.
No.
It's not.
Whose last episode was a Dalek episode in classic? Wasn't it somebody?
Lord, help me.
No, you know what? I'm thinking of Trial of the Time Lords.
Trial of Time. Oh, yeah.
Never mind. Yeah. Sorry, everyone.
Curly, floofy hair.
Whoops.
Seventh Doctor story, Remembrance of the Daleks, which I do want us to review on one point. I do have it on DVD, and I'll make sure that,
that
can make that happen.
Let's just do that one next.
Okay. Works for me.
There we go. In the middle of the episode.
There you go. Mark that down. In that episode, it takes place at Coal Hill School.
Oh.
In 1963.
Wow. Look at that.
There's a lot of tiebacks to the very origin of the series. Ace is running away from a Dalek and goes up a flight of stairs. And I think even then we see it from the perspective of the Dalek.
Oh.
Like it's like goes up and it just kind of does and this, like yeah, the camera just goes up and then moves.
Exactly. Just like in this episode. And when we review it, I'll gladly be wrong. But yes, I remember as a kid seeing the Dalek start to elevate up the stairs and I just lost it. I was like,
because now they have no weakness, basically.
Exactly. I've never seen that before and I just flipped out. So to see this again, I was like, oh yeah. Yep.
Another thing that I just really overall enjoyed about the episode was the bravery of the Lady Guard.
Yes, oddly enough, named DiMaggio.
Really?
Yes.
DiMaggio.
Yes, her last name was DiMaggio. Huh. I don't remember her first name. I was looking at it online today. But
That was the other thing, like just the braveness the entire time. Like, go, get out of here. You have to leave. I'll stay here and hold it off. I know I'm probably going to die, but whatever. I was like, yes.
I haven't seen bullets stop it yet, but maybe I'll be lucky.
Yeah, maybe
with my
bullets will stop it.
Maybe no, I'll turn my flashlight on.
I don't
on.
Think so. I just, the braveness of most of the people in this was really cool and kind of refreshing. No one was like, you know. And then the leader of the guard, he's like, oh, I've seen war before, blah blah blah, that, you know, that
yeah,
guy,
right?
He was cool too.
He's American.
Yes.
Hashtag
do you think he really was American?
Probably not. No,
he's probably they couldn't hire American actors at this point, probably,
and not unless they already happen to be living in London or Wales or something.
I'm trying to think if I've skipped over anything that I particularly liked about this episode. I mean, just overall, this is probably one of the best episodes from the new.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And it definitely was an episode that I think really kind of showcased how powerful the new series could be.
Yes, definitely. I love, so we get that scene where the Dalek, you know, makes it rain, and then he electrocutes everyone and kills them. And then it's
making
just
making it rain up in here. I'm doing, you can't see this. I'm doing like little hand gestures, like my Dalek lights.
These are Dalek lights. That's funny. And I love that he just knows where the camera is and goes, I will only talk to the doctor.
Yes.
It's just like he's a crazy murderer, serial killer guy.
Totally psychopathic. The simple fact that it occurs to him, he's like, oh, I'm assessing the situation. Here's all these soldiers around me. Oh, look, I'm going to set off the fire alarm, which is going to turn on the sprinklers, and then I'm going to zap these guys. I'm
going to zap them all and murder them.
I mean, the body count of this episode is huge.
Yes, it's insane. Rose is trying to get away, and she can't make it out. And you go, oh, well, that's the end of Rose. She's done. And then he actually does it, which I thought was weird for the Dalek to be like, exterminate, and then even sound off his ray.
Yeah.
And then he ends up not killing her because he has his or her DNA in his body.
Yeah.
And he's has emotions. So
emo Dalek is even more emo.
He's
now.
Even more emo now. Yeah. He loves all of his emotions and he doesn't understand what he's becoming.
Yep.
And I believe at some point the doctor finds out that Rose is still alive.
Yeah.
And I think she can still hear or they can still hear what the Dalek's like, I'm so sad or whatever.
Yeah.
And all the Dalek wants is to be free, which is like, it's such a weird turn. Like,
he's got no,
he has no
source of command.
Well, because
he doesn't know how to lead himself.
Yeah, he absorbed the entire internet, which was also funny.
Yes, well, that was on my top five. We'll get to that.
The internet.
And my first thought, oh my God, he's absorbed the entire internet. I'm like, how much porn is in that Dalek now?
Yeah, he's just like busy for a while. He's like, I'll kill everyone later. I have videos to watch.
Cat memes.
I should find, if I can find the voice modulator.
Oh God,
that would be really funny.
Please.
But
he can introduce every episode.
He has the whole internet in his brain or in his system.
Yeah, somewhere.
And he goes, I can't find, you were right, we killed each other off. I'm the last one left, but I'm not even a Dalek anymore. So before he says, you know, tell me to kill myself.
Yeah.
The doctor tells him he should kill himself.
Yeah.
Which is like, whoa. Like,
oh yeah.
Holy crap, that's ridiculous.
Because the Dalek is like, I've been able to access these radio telescopes and whatever, and
I can't get
like,
orders.
Yeah, what do you hear? He's like, nah, dang.
Nah, dang. Yeah.
How What did you do at school today?
Nothing.
So he's sad, and the doctor's like, well, if you're so sad, why don't you kill yourself, basically?
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, what?
You know, doctor, if you did that on Facebook, you would probably get banned.
You would get banned from Facebook, yeah, and also any other form of, don't be such a bully, okay?
Yeah.
That's,
yeah,
bullying. We don't.
We are anti-bullying.
It's 2015.
Right now.
So stop bullying people, doctor.
Rails? What rails?
Yeah, right. So I think the Daleks tries to get like commands from Rose, and Rose is like, yeah, no, you have to be happy and stuff. And
be free.
Yeah.
Be free. Look at the roses.
I remember the first time I watched it when the Dalek blows the hole in the wall and then, yeah, opens it, and it's just like, and I was like, what the heck is that thing?
Yeah. Yeah. But that's
just
that,
like a little squid thing. Like,
totally. And this was actually the first time, I think, in Who history.
Really?
Yes. I think the only other time you saw anything close, it was like under a sheet. So they didn't actually show it.
Really?
Yes. I am 99.44. I am ivory percent sure that this was the first time you actually see, you know, the casing open up and there's the Dalek inside.
Wow.
Goopy and squid-like.
Goopy squid thing that used to be probably a human or whatever.
Human-esque.
You're gross, Dalek. You look gross. I was trying to eat food while I was looking at your crazy eye.
Ramen noodles?
Yes. I did like when the Dalek would talk, its body would move, yes, with the talking.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, that's cool. I like that little, yeah, special effect there.
The animatronics they did with it were pretty good.
Yes. And of course, you know, like most BBC graphics, they're like, meh. But, I mean, it still looked decent. Like the Dalek, you know. Like, I liked it when it would keep the eye stalk on someone and move its entire body.
Yes.
And then just go, meh. Yes. Just so methodical.
Well, in that scene that you liked so much where they're in the hallway.
Yes.
And he's literally just, like, rotating one part of himself, and then the yes, guns come around and he fires, and then he rotates back. He's just going, he's like in three different segments.
It's almost like they,
it's like a Rubik's Cube.
They almost reinvented a classic character.
Totally.
Like slightly, not a lot, yeah, but, you know, just made the character more
dynamic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like it can fly now. It can, graphics and stuff really help out, I guess, when you have some sort of a budget.
Yes, definitely.
And then we get the scene with the doctor with the gun, which is, and he's holding the gun up, and like, he has never had a clear shot of this Dalek. And Rose is like, no,
human shield,
don't shoot him. He's emo. And
he likes Death Cab for Cutie.
He does now. He has all the music.
Exactly. My God, he's got a bigger music library than I
know.
Or I
well,
have.
I mean, he doesn't anymore because, well, She actually, he says, tell me to kill myself. And I don't think she ever says kill yourself. She actually just says do it or something like that.
Yeah, I think she does go, okay, fine, do it.
Yeah, so she tells him just to do it. And then that's also a cool scene where it, mm-hmm, closes up, levitates. Oh, and that was the other theme, was he had never met a human that wasn't scared.
Right.
And because, you know, Rose doesn't know who or what a Dalek is, she's just like, oh, you're sad. Yeah, I'm not afraid of you. And then at the end, she's like, yeah, sure, I'm scared now.
Yeah, I'm kind of freaked out.
And he's like, hooray.
Killed 200 people.
Yes, you just murdered everyone. And it, like, levitates, and the little spheres come out and form, like, a little force field, and it explodes and then implodes.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's cool.
Now, I did a little bit of research today because I swear for some reason in a later episode that they had actually determined that, oh, no, he must not have actually disintegrated himself or imploded himself or whatever. He actually, that was him time traveling. And that's why we've got Daleks later on. But I did some reading today that's not actually the case.
Yeah.
Because even though the Daleks that we see at the very end of the season,
mm-hmm,
they actually had been to replenish their numbers, so to speak. They were picking off humans.
Yeah, and then
basically converting them, much,
yes,
like the Cybermen later.
Yeah.
So I was totally wrong on that. I don't know where that memory came from.
I also wrote down Little Gross Dalek. That's one of my notes. And then the extermination of oneself. Very cool. And then I believe Henry gets his new assistant gets rid of him.
Yeah.
Which I guess she can do. I mean,
Clearly she's, you know, kind of taking the authority over and the guards that are there.
Yeah, they seem fine with it.
Well, yeah, because they've seen all their
other coworkers get annihilated.
You know, completely annihilated. And she says, you know, go wipe his mind and
dump him off in some town.
Basically, what
he says to the other guy in the beginning.
But what I thought was really cool, and actually was my number five top five.
Okay.
Well, my number five top five is the fact that Sacramento gets a shout out. Yeah, go NorCal.
Oh yes, it does.
Dump them in some town starting with S, like Seattle or San Diego or Sacramento. I was like, yeah,
yeah, Sacramento, you did it.
Good job, 916.
What's your four?
My number four. Actually was the museum opener.
Yes,
I love that the some of the wider shots where you could see like over on the left in the next hall. I'm almost certain. I kind of want to bring it back up and take a look at it with you, but it almost looks like the Jaggeroth ship.
Oh,
off
really?
The background. It's just kind of the same shape. It's down. It's like it's sat and it landed. And its little legs have come up.
Huh.
But it caught my eye. Both times they cut to a wider shot.
I almost feel like in that other room there's also like a giant, like it looks like some sort of beasty kind of.
There's a few things. I'm sure they've got some other Easter eggs.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
Shot.
I tried to look. I like paused it, but I couldn't make heads or tails of anything to make like be like that's a Yeti or you know.
Right. It was cool. I mean, it was a nice way for the show at the time to drop in some classic Who
be like, oh hey, elements. We still remember you,
right? Yes. Exactly.
We remember you, thank you for coming and watching our new version of the show,
thanks for coming back,
please don't leave. Yeah. They never did.
Nope.
What's your third there?
My number third was the absorbed the entire internet.
Yes,
that just it was so goofy. It's such an extreme
thing to do. Like what it's like in that movie where the plane becomes sentient. Do you remember that?
Oh my!
And what songs did it download? And someone goes, all of them.
That was a really. I never saw the movie. I remember the trailer. I don't remember what it's
Who
called.
Who was in that movie? I feel like LL Cool J was in that movie.
That kind of rings a bell.
It was just an evil plane.
Yeah. It was supposed to be, you know, some sort of new government AI violating this plane. And of course it goes haywire because that's what AI does.
It downloaded all the songs ever that you could download and apparently only played Incubus.
Oh.
Which I don't know if it was old Incubus or new Incubus. But
I don't think this AI in particular passes the Turing test. No. I think that is a particular fail point that Alan Turing came up with. You play Incubus? No, sorry, you fail. That's not an AI.
Yeah, so absorbing the internet was a little odd, I thought.
It was a little silly. I mean, if they had made it, he's absorbed, you know, he's downloaded the entire, like, Van Staten database.
Yes.
It's like, okay, I can believe
it. Or it's almost like, oh, well, he's gaining access to all the satellites.
Right.
But in that...
He's downloaded Google Maps.
Yeah. But in that scene where he busts through the TV and, like, he repairs himself, too.
Yes.
With, like, electricity or whatever.
Yeah.
Which I thought was also kind of odd.
That was unusual because you would think that just the biomass from Rose and he's doing this whole regeneration thing, that would have fixed everything. But it's like, oh, here's some electricity and internet and maybe some how-to videos on YouTube. And I'm putting myself back together again.
Yeah, I didn't. That was one thing I did not understand about that. But, I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
What's your number two?
My number two was the actual opening of the casing of the Dalek at the end there. And seeing...
Let there be light.
Let there be light. Let this little guy get a tan before he destroys himself. He needed just like that one... He needed like a single eye sunglass to just kind of drop.
Man.
A little 8-bit.
Deal with it. I thought that his eyes so gross. They did a good job on the... It's just so gross. I'm like, ew, your eyes all... How do you see from your eye? It's all gooey and...
How do you close it?
You know, they make drops for that.
Well, he probably can't get them, though.
No, because his sucker wouldn't. Yeah. Although, speaking of that little suction cap.
Yes.
Okay. This door's got a billion combinations. Yes. Okay, Van Staten, who comes up with a combination that is like 12 pound signs?
Yeah.
Really, dude? That's like saying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I have the same combination on my luggage.
What's that from? Oh, my God.
It's from Spaceballs.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm like, I know that line.
No, but yeah, I also thought the sucker was a little weird where he sucks the guy. I guess he just rips his face off, I would assume.
Kind of. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what it's doing. I mean, you hear bone crunching.
And you can kind of see it like getting sucked in. Yeah. So I just assume he crushed his face and killed him.
Well, and I'm trying to think if anywhere previous with Daleks and Classic Who, if the suction cups really ever
did they ever come into
anything?
Play? Like ever? They're
you
just
don't
there?
Shoot anything out of it. You know, I mean, yeah. I mean, maybe if the bathrooms are backed up on the Dalek mothership.
I will get this.
I got it.
But the suction cup, yeah, and then like there's a bajillion combinations. Oh, he figured it out.
Oh, yeah, it's a bunch of hashtag marks.
Damn, what were we thinking? So what is your number one favorite thing about
one favorite thing of this episode absolutely has to be the interaction between the Dalek and the Ninth Doctor when they first interact.
Yes.
And it just, that whole scene is just so intense, so emotive.
Yes.
Not emo, just emotive.
Just emotive.
That it just outclasses, you know, anything else I had seen in the season up to that point.
What was
yours? Because you came up with some stuff too, didn't
Well,
you?
I had mentioned them throughout the episode.
Ah, gotcha.
My four favorite ones were the Dalek attack, basically when we get to see the Dalek in its, you know,
rampage mode.
Rampage mode, yes, when it melts the bullets, the elevate, and just killing everything.
Yeah.
I like the bravery of the guards.
Right.
That's also probably one of my favorite things. And I don't know why. I was just like, yes, you're so brave. And I don't know why. I was just like, yeah.
Good job, DiMaggio.
I forgot all about how it was to see characters not be like, I don't want to do this, and have to have an emotional speech to motivate them to do something.
Right, yeah.
I just liked how the Dalek in general was portrayed, you know, just as it's basically new to a lot of people at the time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we have to make this character insane and unstoppable, and we have to build it up because it's going to come back later. And then what's going to happen when there's a million of them? Then you're going to have the audible. I won't say what I said out loud, but when we had the Daleks and the Cybermen.
Oh, right. Yeah.
When the Daleks came out of the sphere.
Yes.
I out loud said, and this is when I knew Doctor Who was like one of my favorite shows ever. I was like, oh, but I didn't say, right. I said it out loud, and I caught myself when I said it. I was like, wow, I never audibly, besides laughing, have a reaction like that.
Uh-huh.
So that's when I knew. So they did a good job reintroducing the Daleks.
Nice.
To where it's like, these guys are unstoppable, like nothing can stop them except the Doctor. But sometimes he can't even do that. And that was just one.
Yeah.
This is a million in the future. And you're like, oh, no. How is this going to work?
Well, yeah. And they also set it up in this episode that you almost have the Dalek as a sympathetic character.
Yes. Which is was also kind of odd.
New. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
new. Like, that was also very. Yeah.
I mean, all through Classic Who, I mean, the Daleks were basically the Nazis.
Yeah.
You know, genocidal maniacs.
Mm-hmm.
So to get them in New Who, where, okay, there's some ambiguity. Oh, they've absorbed some human DNA, so they're kind of not sure about themselves.
Yeah, now they have feelings, and they don't like that they have feelings because now they're useless.
Exactly. They need to start talking to those Cybermen and get those feelings removed.
Oh, man. I love that face-off. I know we're talking about other episodes.
Well, you're wearing the Rock'em Sock'em Dalek Cybermen
I love that episode where
I've got the Dalek TARDIS Space Invaders t-shirt on today.
That you do. So I guess we overall really like this episode.
Absolutely.
We try not to review things that we don't like.
No, but I think it's good sometimes to do that. And,
yes.
And be fair and balanced. I mean, we did do the TV movie.
We did. I'm so sorry.
Don't be. It had been a long time since I had seen that, and I wanted to see how it held up, and it completely fell apart. It fell apart like wet Kleenex.
But we got good things out of it.
We totally
so
did.
So we're totally fine with that. Taylor, how can people contact you, or what do you got to plug for me, sir?
They can stick their heads out a window and shout. No, I'm sorry. Oh. They can find me on Twitter at BusBuddha. And actually also Instagram, just to throw it out there, because I will probably put up a couple pictures because we're both in the studio together. And I also do a monthly music mix called Mud Ride Radio. You can check it out. Find us on Facebook, actually, facebook.com/Mud Ride Radio.
Cool. That sounds good. You can follow me on Twitter at the newly changed name at Sir Pingle. That's SirPingel.
I feel like I should salute you.
Well, we used to work together.
Yes.
And Elaine would call me that.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't even think about it when I had changed it to that.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, it's perfect because someone has actually called me that for nice. Most of my life. Nice. So it's fine. Until I get JP3, I'm coming for you, Egg. I'm going to get that from you. There's nowhere to run. I see you every day.
JP3, is that like CB4?
Well, I'm the third.
Yeah, no, I
so,
know.
So, yes, but yes, it is.
Smart Alec.
Let's see. I'd like to thank the Y-Axis for providing us with our intro theme, Winter Bones. You can follow them on Twitter at the Y-Axis. You can like their Facebook page. It's facebook.com/theYaxis. And check them out on Bandcamp. It's theyaxis.bandcamp.com. You can follow the show on Twitter at ThePodcastica. You can like our Facebook page. Just look us up. Just look up Podcastica. And you can subscribe to us on iTunes and rate and review on iTunes,
please.
Too.
Yeah.
I got that down pat for every show.
Nice. Good job.
So, when we talk again, we're going to review
Remembrance of the Daleks.
Yes.
Seventh Doctor story.
Which should be nice because I don't believe I've seen a lot of the Seventh Doctor.
We need to fix that because he's definitely one of my faves.
So I'm excited for that. That will be next time, whenever next time is. Hopefully not too long.
Nope.
Shouldn't be too long. So we'll talk to you guys next time. Taylor, thank you for coming and being here in person.
I hate that I won't always be able to make this happen.
That's fine.
But I am stoked to finally be here live and in studio and not sound like I'm talking through a tin can connected to the internet, connected to a dollar.
Yes. Well, we'll talk to everybody next time.
See ya.
Bye.